time of year that we should really take out time to celebrate and recognize what Eretz Yisrael means to us, how much a significant role it plays in our lives. So today I want to spend time trying to appreciate and understand some of that which we might take for granted. The Pasuk tells us, with regard to Eretz Yisrael, V'haya ki v'yacha Hashem al Eretz HaKnani. And it will be when Hashem, when God will take you to the land of Israel, Kasher nishba lecha v'lavosecha, as He promised He would to your parents, to your forefathers. Unasan alach, and He will give it to you. Says the Medrash, what are those last words, unasan alach, trying to teach us? And He will give it to you. It says, V'haya ki v'yacha, when He will bring you there. So of course He's giving it to you. Says the Medrash, Shalo tehe be'enecha ki yirushas avos. Don't think that Eretz Yisrael is something which is deserving to you. Don't think it's a yirushas avos, that it's an inheritance that we're just going to get automatically. It is not something we can take for granted. Ela tehe be'enecha ki ilu hayom nesun alach. You have to look at Eretz Yisrael. Your perspective on this incredible gift has to be ki ilu hayom nesun alach, like it was given to you today, for the first time. Not that you've been there a million times before, not that our grandparents had it, but that today is the first time that we have the opportunity to experience what it means to be a part of the life of the story of Eretz Yisrael. And this is a tremendous challenge. The Torah already foresees that it's going to be a challenge for us. Part of the great blessing of our generation is that we have in Eretz Yisrael. It's the greatest blessing any generation can ever ask for. It's something all of our ancestors have aspired for and toward. It's something so many generations would have given up everything they had for. But that's part of the curse of our generation also, that we have in Eretz Yisrael and we've become so used to it. And it's become so routine to us. It's an ordinary part of our lives, and we can jump on a plane and we can go and we can visit, and we lose the appreciation. We lose the feeling of love, of sensitivity that we're supposed to have toward Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it's important that at least once a year, at least a few times a year, we take from our time, from our thoughts, and understand what exactly Eretz Yisrael means to us. What's the significance? What role does it play, if any, in the lives that we live here in Chutz Lars? The Baal HaTanya writes, when he talks about Eretz Yisrael, he says, Le'orer es ha'ava hayishana. We have an obligation to awaken the ahava hayishana, the old love that we used to feel when we were yearning toward Eretz Yisrael. Says the Baal HaTanya, that is our obligation. V'chibas Eretz HaKodesh lios ba'eretz kirishvei esh mikarev ish v'lev hamok. That it should be a feeling, a sensation from the depths of our hearts, something we should always be able to express, something we should always be able to feel. And I was always very taken by, there was an incredible tzaddik who passed away in the years of the Holocaust. He was in the Warsaw Ghetto, and then afterward he left the Warsaw Ghetto and was killed somewhere else. His name was Reb Klonimus Kalman Shapiro, and he was better known as the Piazetzna Rebbe. He was a very famous icon from the war years, from the Shoah. So he wrote a letter in which he expresses himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says the following: Avi Shabashamayim Ma'uchal Teis Lecha. He has a conversation with God and he says, my Father in heaven, what can I possibly give you? Lilmo, do you want me to learn? Hareni lomed b'chol kochi. I give every ounce of my being to learn with all of my strength. I cannot give any more. I'm learning to the max. Lihispalo, you want me to daven? Is that what you're asking for? Is that what you're looking forward to? Hareani mispalo b'chol kochi. Since I've been an adult, I have given all of my thoughts every time I open my mouth in prayer. So what is it that God can possibly ask for me? If I had any regrets on my life, he writes, what would that have been? Halavai, he says, v'acholti lehisgayer. The only regret I have in life is, I wish I would have had the opportunity to be a convert. I wish I would not have been born into the system, because I've become so used to this. And the mitzvahs don't mean as much to me as they do to those who come from the outside. And I only wish that I had the opportunity not to be born into the system, but to be a convert, to be a Baal Tshuva, to be a Chozer B'Tshuva, to be somebody who was not accustomed to all the wonderful practices, to the wonderful life of what it means to be a religious Jew. I wish I would have had that experience. I wish I would have had that opportunity. That is my only regret in life, he writes. Think about that. I so often think about Eretz Yisrael. I was born into a world where we had Yerushalayim. I wasn't alive in 1967. I'm so young, my parents almost weren't alive. But I wasn't alive then. I don't know what it means to live a life without Yerushalayim. I don't know what it means to live a life without Hebron. I don't know what it means to live a life without Eretz Yisrael. I have no idea what that kind of feeling is supposed to be. And I only wish. It's one of my tremendous regrets in life. I only wished I lived at a time when Yerushalayim was captured, when Eretz Yisrael was given to the Jewish people to appreciate and enjoy. Maybe I would have more of a sensational feeling every time I went to visit. Maybe I would understand what it means, how important, how historic it is that we have what we have. That's what the Piasetzner Rebbe writes, and it's so true about so many aspects of our lives, but certainly about Eretz Yisrael. We've become so used to visiting and supporting and being a part of everything that happens there, that sometimes the fallout from that is that we don't fully appreciate what it means to have an Eretz Yisrael. We've been blessed to have been born into the system, but at the same time, being born into the system is something that presents tremendous challenges as well. So there's a lot to talk about when we discuss Yom HaTzmaut in general and what Eretz Yisrael means in particular. But we'll begin with a Medrash in Tehillim. And the Medrash writes that when we think about Eretz Yisrael and we've been through so many different stages, so many different phases over the many, many millennia of our galus, of our exile. And the Medrash writes here, Kipada Hashem es Yaakov uga'alo, that the Ribbono Shel Olam redeemed the Jewish people, uga'alo, and freed them. V'ga'alo en ksiv, it doesn't say, and he continues to redeem them, ela v'ga'alo, and he did redeem them in the past. Amru Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo kvar ga'altanu al yidei Moshe, v'al yidei Yehoshua, v'al yidei Ashoftim, v'al melachim, v'ata hayinu chozrim u'mushubadim. How many times have you redeemed us? How many times have you taken us back, and then, only a few years later, we've gone right back to the place where we were when we started? So why should we be convinced that anything is different this time? We've been through so many ups and downs. Maybe this is another one of those ups and we're just going to go right back down. Why should we be excited, says the Medrash? We were with this terrible roller coaster in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua ben Nun. We went up, we went down, we were in the land, we were out of the land, we were taken back, we were thrown away. Why should we believe that things are going to be different? V'ayinu bibusha ki'ilu lo negamu. We were so ashamed, we were so embarrassed. Nobody believed that we were ever a free people. They just look at where we are and they look at all the trajectory of the Jewish people throughout all those years. And there's something strange about it. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says, l'fishahaysa gu'ulaschem ayidei basar v'dam, because all of those experiences, all of those encounters that you had were redemptions that came through human beings, through basar v'dam. V'hayu manigeichem ayidei ben adam, and the people who led you through those times were human beings. Shehayom kanu machar bekever, they don't have the ability to redeem you forever. And that's why those redemptions were not everlasting. L'fikach gu'ulaschem gu'ulas sha'ah. Ava l'haba, but there's going to come a time, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, ani goel eschem ayidei atzmi, that I will make the redemption happen on my own, and no one is going to be involved, and no one else is going to lead you but God Himself. Ve'ani chai v'kayim, and I am alive and well forever. And therefore, aga'alchem ge'ula kayemes le'olamim, therefore I will provide for you a redemption that will be everlasting. There's something to look forward to, that yes, we've been through many ups and downs and many different experiences as a people, but we have a time that we're able to look forward to when there will be an experience that the Jewish people will be redeemed forever. The Ribbono Shel Olam God is Chai V'Kayim La'Olam. And He promises us, He assures us that Agal Eschem, I will give you a redemption that will be everlasting, that will never be taken back, that will always be there for the Jewish people forever. And this is why there's been such an excitement about this Geula process that we're engaged in now. And that's why there's been so much discussion. Is this the Aschalta de Geula? Is this the beginning of the ultimate redemption? Who cares? What do you care if it is or it's not? History will tell. The answer is it makes a big difference. Because if it is, It means that it's something that is going to be everlasting and will never change. And that's why there's so much discussion about whether or not we are in the Aschalta Degula or we're not. Is this just another phase in our long history of exile? And we're just going to have the up and then we're going to go down once again? Or should we assume that this is it? The destiny of the Jewish people is now in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the way it's going to be, and that's how it's going to stay, and nothing about it is going to change. It's an important point to think about. But this is why there was such heated debate and discussion about what our perspective is about this process that we're going through now. How do we look at it? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to the Jewish people? How do we understand it? How do we interpret it? And that's what I want to speak about today in the time that we have left in our shiur. So the Sfarna writes a number, Gimel on the sheet, the Sfarna writes in Sefer Bereishis, V'haya zarachaka afar ha'aretz ufaratzta, yama v'kedma v'tzafona v'negba. The Pasuk tells Avram Avinu that your children are going to be ka'afar ha'aretz, they are going to be like the dust of the land, in multitudes, ufaratzta, and they're going to spread out all over, yama v'kedma v'tzafona v'negba, all over the world. Says the Sfarno, and when you look at it in the historical context of where we are today, and when the Hakamas HaMedina happened, right on the heels of all the terrible destruction and tragedy that we suffered in the Shoah, you'll understand, you'll appreciate what the Sfarna writes here, and it's so prophetic. Writes the Sfarna, Achar shiyia zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. After your children, Avram Avinu is promised, after his children are going to be treated like afar ha'aretz, like the dust of the land. After they will be treated like subhuman beings, as we were in the days of the Shoah. Ke'inin v'atesimi ka'aretz gevecha v'kuchutz la'ovrim, v'zeh shiyu b'tachlis ha'shiflus. There's going to come a time when we will be b'tachlis ha'shiflus, at the ultimate level of desolation, of destruction. Then says the Sfarno, az tifrutz ba'aretz asher ata shochev aleha. Then will come a time when your children will come back to Eretz Yisrael. And they will come, b'chol tzad yama v'kedma tzafona v'negba. They will emigrate to Yerushalayim from everywhere, from all over the world. Ki amnam tshuas hakel ha'asida. The ultimate redemption will be, acharov ha'shiflus Yisrael ahu. Hayom v'galusam asher kamo lo niyeh. It will come at a time when we've never experienced anything like that. When we've never had such a mass desecration as we had to the Jewish people at that time, only a little over 70 years ago. And this, says the Sfarno, is the promise to Avraham Avinu, that from that will come, ufaratzta yama v'keidma v'tzafona v'negva. After the Jewish people are ka'afar ha'aretz, the depths of the depths, that's when the ultimate redemption will come. The Medrash writes in Yalkut Shimoni, you know, many people wonder, it's a strange kind of setup that we have Yom Yerushalayim, we have Yom HaZikaron and then Yom HaAtzmaut that follows. And it is a little bit strange, but the truth is, as we know, that's the life of a Jew. This is what we are. But it's more than that. It's not just that that's the life of a Jew. It's when you recognize the terrible destruction, when you recognize how much you have lost. That, says the Medrash, is when we recognize how much of a Geula is here. And just to bring the point home a little more strongly, the Medrash writes in number Dalet, the Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim, Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara. Pasuk says, we say it every day in our davening in Lamnatzeach. Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara, God should answer us on our day of pain. Mashal l'maha davar domeh. Le'avu ben, shahayu mehalchem ederach. You have a father and his child who are traveling together. Nisyageya haben, the child is tired, he's exhausted, he's walking so far, such a great distance. Amar la'aviv, he turns to the father and he says, Abba, heichan hu ha'medina? You told me we're traveling somewhere, you told me we're going to visit somebody, we're going to the market, and we're just walking and walking. And you haven't told me when we're going to be there. And I'm getting tired. Amar lo b'ni, he turns to his child and he says, Simen ze yebiyadcha, stop asking me when it's going to come. You know how you'll know? I'll give you a sign, this way you'll understand when we're close to our destination. Imra isa beis hakvaris lefanecha. When you see the cemetery, then, says the Medrash, ha'medina karov alach. Then you know that the Medina is there. Every Jewish community has a cemetery on the outskirts. of that particular community. The father tells his child, you want to know when we're almost there? When you see that there's a cemetery, then you know we're very close to the city. Kacha Navi Omer LeYisrael, and that is what the Navi assures the Jewish people as well. Imra'isa Hatzaros SheYechasu Eschem. If you see that you come to a time where you have such mass murder, when you have such calamity, if you come to a time where you see the Beis HaKvaros is there, yesterday we elevated the neshamas of over 22,000 soldiers. What a terrible destruction. Who can ignore such a Beis HaKvaros? Who could live a day like yesterday and not be a little bit moved, a little bit uplifted by the sacrifice of all these incredible Jews who gave so much for all of us to be safe and for all of us to appreciate and enjoy what it means to have an Eretz Yisrael? 22,000 people, it's a lot of people. That's what the Navi tells us. Imra Isa Beis HaKvaros, you know when you're almost there? You know how you know if you're close to the Medina? If you're really almost at the ultimate point of the destination of where you're supposed to be, the ultimate destiny of the Jewish people, Imra Isa Beis HaKvaros. If you see that experience that we're all seeing, that we have seen, then you know that we are almost there. So, our community, as we know, celebrates Yom HaAtzmaut. There are many communities that do not. And this is not a new practice. It is not a new discussion. It's something that was around for a long time. One of the great Lubavitcher Rebbes, he was the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was born in 1860 and he passed away in 1920. So this was way before 1948. But he was very strongly opposed to the Aliyah movement. And he sent a letter to the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim was a contemporary of his. Chafetz Chaim was one of the recognized Gedolei Hador at the time. And he sent a letter to his friend the Chafetz Chaim that he should discourage people from going to Eretz Yisrael. And he writes to him, Ein lidchok es hakeitz. You're pushing off the ultimate redemption. Don't allow people to go back. And he sends a letter to the Chafetz Chaim and he writes as follows, Sheyishalchu osam l'chol eretz ve'eretz. You want people to get out of Europe because you're nervous there's going to be a war? Send them anywhere. Aval lo la'artzeinu hakadosh. He writes to the Chafetz Chaim, make sure you send them anywhere in the world. Get them out of Europe. But don't allow them to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim was very upset by these words. And the Chafetz Chaim responded to him, as his son writes in one of the Svarim. Chafetz Chaim responds to him and he says, I think you're mistaken. I wish I could go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim, if you look in the history, it's clear that the Chafetz Chaim wanted very much to go to Eretz Yisrael. Family life didn't allow him to. His wife got sick, his children were sick, it just wasn't possible for him. But this was the opposition, and there was very strong opposition, and it continued on for generations. So this fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe passed away in 1920. The seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe was here in New York. And he also followed that opinion, followed that feeling, that absolutely not. Look at number hey. Hatkufa ba'anu nimtza mata. This period that we're in now, and he was alive at the time after 1948, and he writes, this period, this experience that we're living through now, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe here, Eina aschalta de geula. This has nothing to do with the ultimate redemption. This is what he says. Aliyasem shall Yehudim rabim la'aretz hakodesh, and you'll say, look, so many Jews are moving, making aliyah. Eina kibbut agalios. That is not what we look forward to. It is not what we think is the ultimate redemption. Ela efshara shall atzolos Yehudim isman agalos. Yes, it's an out. When the Jews are in a tough spot, we always have to find a place to go. So they found a place to go to Eretz Yisrael, but it has nothing to do with the aschalta de geula. Hageula shall sheker, eino nosenes le geula amitis lehiskalos. This fake, this false geula that the Jewish people of my generation, he says, have fooled themselves into believing is the ultimate geula, is really holding back the geula amitis, he says. Vigoremes, and it is causing laharachas hagalus. It is causing for us to have a longer period of exile. Galus HaYachid, Galus HaTzibur, Galus HaKlal Yisrael, Galus HaShchina. not mincing words. Seems to take his position very seriously. And in fact, he writes a letter at that time to Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin, who was a very prominent figure in Eretz Yisrael at the time. And he says, Habir ha'yichidi, look at the next line, Shenoflim karbanos be'Eretz Yisrael, you want to know why so many people are being killed? You want to know why so many soldiers are losing their lives? I know why, says the Lubavitch Rebbe in his letter to Rav Zevin. I'll tell you exactly why. Because, biglal ha'achraza shel aschalta de geula. It's because all of you decided that this is the aschalta de geula. So that's what he says, and this is documented. And it wasn't just the Lubavitcher dynasty that believed in this, but it was, obviously, the Satmar Rebbe was a tremendous opponent to the land and to the Hakamas HaMedina. They seem to continue to be against it. And in 1959, he printed his famous Kuntres, 87 pages, that was called Ala Geula v'Ala Tmura, where he expressed his opposition, and he was very upset about it. Rav Shach at the time was also one of the great leaders. He passed away probably 20 years ago. He writes in number Vav, Am Yisrael adayin begola abiyas hagol. Af bizman shu be'eretz Yisrael. We have not been redeemed. I live in Bnei Brak. I live in Eretz Yisrael and I'm running the yeshiva in Panovich. Doesn't matter. We are not a redeemed, we are not a free people, he writes. Ve'ein zu geula v'lo aschalta de geula. This is nothing. We don't recognize anything that's happening right now. This is not the geula. This is not the aschalta de geula. It's not the beginning stages of anything. It's not the onset of anything. I don't recognize anything that is going on here. Part of the big question. How do you understand that? How do you understand that the Nunturi Karta live there, and yet they go to Iran to participate in wonderful rallies there? I don't know. I don't quite understand it. What I'm pointing out is not that we should look down on these people, but it was a serious discussion at the time. These were great tzaddikim, great gedolim, who really believed this. Who really felt strongly that this is not the geula, and it's not even the aschalta de geula. It's nothing. It's a place where the Jewish people found solace, found respite, but it's not corresponding at all to what the redemption is supposed to be. Now to us, 69 years later, it's hard to really understand where they're coming from. Look how much has happened in this incredible gift that we've been given. Look how much the Jewish people have flourished. Look how much we have grown. Look how much the Torah has exploded. My father often likes to say he doesn't think there's ever been a generation with as much Torah as we have. This is unprecedented. Don't think that in Europe everybody was such great Talmidei Chachamim, everybody was such great scholars. Most people, the Mishnah Berurah writes, women in the times of his generation didn't count Sfiras Omer. Why? Because they didn't understand the phrase Hayom Yom Esrim Yom. They didn't understand what that meant. They couldn't translate it. By the way, today is 21. But Mishnah Berurah writes, in his generation, women didn't even understand. They were so illiterate, they didn't understand what the words meant. Are we not living in a blessed time? Are we not living in a time that is completely unprecedented? We've never had a time like this. But yet there were those who were so strongly opposed to everything that had to do with Hakamas HaMedina. And on the other hand, the tremendous and overwhelming majority of tzaddikim at the time were extremely for it. There was a letter that Rav Mendel Kasher published where he had the signatures of about 200 great Talmidei Chacham of the generation who were rallying that people should pay attention to the government and should take part in it. It was a letter that was written, I believe, in 1950 or something, so it was right after the state was established. And he was pleading with the Jewish people, have an influence, get involved. And this was not just him. He had Shlomo Zalman Auerbach signed on that letter, and Rabbi Zalman Meltzer signed on that letter, and all the great tzaddikim of the time, basically, signed along, that we recognize what it is. And we'll see in a few minutes the beginning of the letter. So the Chafetz Chaim's son writes as follows. Look at number Zayin. Chafetz Chaim's son tells over, Zachruni, I remember ki bishnas 1889-1890, Shehechelu legarish esachena b'nei Yisrael mimaskel. I remember when they were throwing people out of Russia. Hisora az tenua gedola la'artzeinu hakdosha. That's when there became a big movement to move to Eretz Yisrael to make aliyah. Hamgurashim Leos Vala Alafim. They decided there were hundreds, there were thousands of people who were being thrown out of Russia. They decided we're going to go en masse to Eretz Yisrael. So Kanusham Karkos, they saved up money, they bought land there. Natu Kramim, they planted vineyards. Yazdu Moshavos, they built houses. Came Bitchum HaMoshav Nesfu Asifos, they made gatherings. Nisiastu HaChevros. Shalchu Mishulachim Liknos Karkos, they sent people ahead to buy everything that needed to be done. Balabatim machru nechseyem achol chavtseyem, people sold everything they had, every last penny. Uvitzror kaspam, and with those few pennies that they had, alu b'simcha la'artzeinu akadosha, he writes. I remember this time, the son of the Chafetz Chaim says, when everybody just gave up everything they had, and they moved to Eretz Yisrael. B'tikvasam, and they were hoping, limtso sham b'lizeas hapayim osher v'osher, they were hoping to have a wonderful life there. Bizman hazeh, on that occasion, during this period of history, kibalti michtav me'avi zechrona levracha, I got a letter from my father, the Chafetz Chaim. Ubohu me'iruni, and in that letter he inspired me, and he pointed out to me al ha'hisorus hagadola b'chol pinos amenu. He said, "Look, open your eyes and see what's happening. Look at the inspiration that the Jewish people have. Lalos la'artzeinu hakadosha." Umishair, and my father wrote to me then in 1889, this must be the onset of the process of Mashiach. When else have we had a time when the Jewish people gave up everything they had to move to Eretz Yisrael? Who would do such a thing? Maybe a few people, but hundreds and thousands of people doing it? Leaving all that they had behind and going to Eretz Yisrael? V'chein pakad Hashem es hamo, and therefore the Ribbono shel Olam responded, v'efsher hu aschalta de kibbutz galios, the Chafetz Chaim wrote. Maybe this is just the beginning of our redemption as a people. Shehu kodem bi'as ha-mashiach, v'im hayinu bi'yecholas, the Chafetz Chaim wrote to his son, if it was only possible for me, haya min haroi liknos karka v'lalos the ha'aretz, I wish I can give up as well everything I had and move to Eretz Yisrael myself. Asher ba'asher ein b'kocheinu la'aleinu. Unfortunately, he says, right now, my family, we cannot go. But nasa es asher mutal aleinu v'asher b'yadeinu. But let's at least do what we can to support and to emphasize how important this movement is. Because the Chafetz Chaim believed this was the beginning of Ikvas at the Mashiach. It had to be. You look at Rabbi Yisr Zalman Meltzer, who was the head of Vada Yeshivas. He was one of the most prominent Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim at the time. And he says, number ches, and the reason I think it's important to read these is because history has been rewritten now. Where so much of the Orthodox population in the world does not recognize anymore what a gift Eretz Yisrael is. But you look at the original people who were there at the time, and they were more religious than any of us. And they wrote that they believe that this is Aschalta de Geula. And they didn't hold back from saying that. And they weren't ashamed to say this in public, and these letters are all published. So you look at Rabbi Yisr Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Yisr Zalman writes, "Bi'amenu, in our days, niras ha'geula ki'ilu hi mamashis ukrova me'od. You see in our days," says Rabbi Yisr Zalman Meltzer, "you see in our days," he started the Yeshiva Eitz Chaim, which was a very important institution in Yerushalayim, it's still around. So he writes, "You see, Niras Hagaula, you see the redemption, Ki'ilu hi mamashis ukrova me'od. You see, it's right here. It's right here." Like Rav Soloveitchik said, "Kol dodi dofe, God is knocking at the door. And we're all just ignoring him." Dome, it seems to me, ki pa'ame Mashiach mahadadim. It sounds like Mashiach is, his heart is pulsating. We're hearing the echoes of Mashiach. Rachis kol, first of all, he says, Yeshivim Eretz Yisrael, who ever heard of this? We have Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. What an incredible phenomenon. Now we take it for granted. But this is Rav Yisr Zalman writing then. Who would imagine there are Jews living in Eretz Yisrael? V'yesh lo Yehudi el mi lavo. And now there's a place for the Jewish people to go. Lamala mi 2 million Yehudim ba'artzeinu hakadosha. We have more than 2 million Jews living there, he says. Chizayon, this is a prophecy, shelo haya kamo me'es ha'churban. It is a dream that we've never had from the days of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Lufi Kol HaMekoros, and according to all of the Midrashim, all of Chazal, Zehu HaTnai HaRishon LeGeula. This is the first step toward a redemption. And then he writes once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalach Lanu Matana. We all talk, are we going to say Hallel? We're not going to say Hallel with a bracha, without a bracha. Think about it. Doesn't matter whether or not you say Hallel, that's just a side point. Do you recognize what Rabbi Yisrael Zalman writes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalach Lanu Matana. Do we realize what a gift this is? Do we realize how privileged we are? And that gift, he says, is Medinas Yisrael. Kitigmal HaRishon, this is our first payment. Ba'ad Asoneinu HaGedola HaShoah. This is our first payment, this is our first reward that God gave us, he says, after the terrible times that we experienced. And we all know people who went through it. And we all have family members who somehow were affected. Says Rabbi Zalman, how do you not recognize that this is the first opportunity that God has to give it back to his people and to show them that he loves them? Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank was the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time. Zachinu Liros, we have the opportunity, the great gift to see. Ki pakad Hashem es amo, lehoshienu ba'aschalta de geula. We have the opportunity to see and to experience and to feel, he says, that God has remembered us and he has saved us and he's given us an aschalta de geula. He has begun the process of redemption. Viruba shel Eretz Yisrael hamaravis. Nichbash ha'idei tzva ha'hagana li'Yisrael. Most of the land has been conquered by our soldiers. Ume'ein zeh shahaya be'geula harishona ha'idei Yehoshua ben Nun. And this is the same experience that we had in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. So too, kein ra'inu sheinis b'haschalas geulaseinu ha'acherona hazo. So too, this is what we're seeing in our times, in our generation. So this was a recurrent theme. It was a recurrent theme in all the great tzaddikim of the time, basically, who said that they believe that this really is, in a sense, an aschalta de geula. This is the beginning of the process that we've all been waiting for, that we've so much looked forward to. And you'll be surprised, but the Hamodia, which was the newspaper of the ultra-Orthodox in Eretz Yisrael at the time, look what they wrote on side number 2. They wrote this in Dalet Iyar. Now, Hey Iyar is Yom HaTzmaut. So Dalet Iyar is Erev Yom HaTzmaut. What? Was it already then? Yom HaZikaron was from the beginning? Or it was later? I don't think so. I think it was later. So Dalet Iyar is Erev Yom HaTzmaut. So in the Hamodia, they're probably having all kinds of discussions about, what are we going to do tomorrow? This is 1950, 2 years after Hakamat HaMadina. So it was a question, what's going to be tomorrow? What's your community going to do? The same fights we're still having today, they were probably having then. In the Hamodia they wrote, Chag Zeh Shal HaMadina, this celebration of our community, of our country, Mishutaf Hu LeKulanu. This is what the religious papers wrote. This Chag of our Medina is Mishutaf Hu LeKulanu. It is something that is shared by all of us who live here. L'chol Yehudi ba'asher hu, for every single Jew wherever he is and whatever kind of religious observance they might be keeping. Anyone who is atzmo chelek meha'uma ha'yisraelis, anyone who identifies with the Jewish people must recognize that this is an international celebration for the Jewish people. Wherever you are and however you feel, this was an incredible moment for the Jewish people. Yeah?
How do they reckon? How does the world, that world now, reconcile what you just read?
So that's why, I know we're reading a lot today, but my reason for bringing all of this is we should see that at the time, this is in 1950. This is when everyone was so inspired because they just saw what happened. You couldn't deny it at the time. So now history has been rewritten somehow, and now people say differently, but this was the fact. This is what was being said then. This is what 200 Rabbanim signed on to. Look at Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov in the Sefer HaTodah. 51. So this was the year before. Interesting. Thank you. So, it's interesting. There's a Sefer HaTodah, Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov. It's a famous Sefer. What do you call it in English? I forgot. Book of Our Heritage. So it's been translated into English. It's a great book, but there were two chapters that he left out. One chapter that he left out was all about Yom Ha'atzmaut, and one was about Yom Yerushalayim. Too controversial. He didn't want to get involved. But he published them separately. So maybe in the later editions? So he said he wanted to add them in, but he decided it's not worth it. But he published them separately. So look what he published. And again, my understanding was he wrote a kuntras called Kavshi Derachmana, which means the secrets of God. So this was printed in there where he said he has some secrets that he wants to talk about that he's not going to put out in the regular sefer, but he's going to put it out separately. And there, he addresses the issue. He says, there are those who oppose and who say, everything we're experiencing is just Maisa Satan. Right? There are many who say, oh, you'll ask, why is it so prosperous in Eretz Yisrael? Why are people doing so well? Why is there such an explosion of Torah? Oh, it's all the Satan. It's all the Satan. He's just trying to make you believe that this is the real thing, but really, you know, it's just a fake. That's what the claim was. So Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov responds, and he says, Hayim HaSatan, do you really believe? This is in number Yud Gimel. Hayim HaSatan huzeh haporetz min ole haaretz upasach berchasa lahotzi yevula b'shefa gover vaholech? Do you really think that the Satan has that much power? Do you really believe the Satan is that important that he can open up the land and make it prosperous and make the fields grow again after they were fallow for so many years? Hayim HaSatan, who's a hamarif knows midbar? Do you think the Satan has ability to all of a sudden make the deserts green? Is the Satan that powerful in God's eyes? Can it be? V'gil givos tachgorna, he writes very poetically, hamarave talame eretz v'tzamcha yevarech, Bale hatainus omrim, yes, our opposition feels. Mehechananu aruva shel ha-maisa ha-gadol hazeh se-neschadish aleinu b'dareinu. Maisa elokeinu l'tavasim shel Yisrael. Who told you that this is really from God? Who told you that this Aliyah movement, that this country that we celebrate, is really from God? How do you know that? He says, that's what many of my opponents have asked. Shema ein ze ala maisa ha-satan. Maybe this is just all a ploy by the Satan, kidei lahachshil Yisrael b'nisayon mar, and the Satan is making us really fall for it well. Shel halicha acharei hatoam umatim. And he responds and he says, Haim ha-Satan huzeh, shehipil morach b'leiv oive Yisrael, do you think the Satan has the ability to scare off all of our enemies? You think the Satan can make everybody be afraid and run away for a six-day war? That can't be the Satan. That has to be God. It's impossible. God would never give so much power to anyone in the world or to any being, to any malach, to any messenger, to anybody. It cannot be, he says. V'hilbish ozugvur, do you think the Satan is the one that gave the courage and the strength, v'churi Yisrael, to our young men, l'hagin al-guf hoseyem v'nafshoseyem shal b'nei Yisrael, do you think part of the plan of the Satan is also to give the courage and the strength and the stamina to our people to go and fight for their lives? Bechiruf nefesh, she'en motziim dugmasa ala b'molchemes kodesh b'daros hakanmonim. We've never seen people fight with such vigor and with such strength. Do you think that's also just the Satan? Can that be? Is it possible? In ka'elahem ma'isa Satan, he says, I have news for you. If you think this is all the Satan and that's really what you believe, Ma temanichem la kodesh baruch hu, what do you think God can do? What's left for God to do? And I think it's a joke, but it's such an incredible line. It's true. If you believe that all that we're seeing is just the Satan, all of this, all of our success, all of the strength, all of the incredible nature of how this great gift runs, and how much it has accomplished in its short history, if that is all the Satan, what are you leaving for God to do? Is there anything left? Is there anything left that God can actually do to say, look, there's somebody in charge of this world and his name is God? Harachaman yatzilenu min hadea hazus. He says, may God save us from those who say that it's just all the Maisa Satan. I can't understand it, he says. How do you even begin to say such a thing? You're leaving nothing left for God himself to do. Rav Soloveitchik himself was very torn with the issue because he came from a family where they did not believe in encouraging the establishment of the Medina. and he himself very much believed in it. But he was torn. In all other areas of his life, he followed tradition, he followed his Masorah, he followed what his parents told him. And here, he went off. Here he decided that his family was wrong. And he addresses the issue. And it was a major struggle for him, because it was so uncharacteristic of him to go against his traditions, his Masorah. If anyone is used to reading what Rav Soloveitchik spoke about, he puts such a tremendous emphasis on Minhagim, on Masorah, on following the tradition, and yet here he has to excuse why he's not doing that. So he writes about it in his very famous work, Chamesh Drashot. So he writes the following: Lo noladati bebayit tzioni. I was not born into a family where they were Zionistic. I was the farthest thing from that. Hard to imagine. Soloveitchik was probably one of the most prominent religious Zionist leaders in his time. But yet, he says, I was not born into this. This is not the system I was raised with. Avos Horai, Beis Abba Shali, my grandparents, my parents, Rabosai, all of my Rabbeim, V'chaveirai, all of my friends, Hayu Rechokim Me'al Mizrahi, they stayed very far away from all of this. Hitkashrusi L'Mizrahi Ba Behadraga. My connection with the Mizrahi and with the Medina came in phases. It didn't happen from one day to the next. I had to think about it long and hard. Here I am, I have a very strong tradition for many, many generations. I have very prominent Rabbanim who came before me who were very opposed, and that's the way I was raised. So I didn't just change overnight. I had to think about it. I had to very strongly consider both options. What's the world going to look like with a Medina? What's the world going to look like without it? Who's right now? Hayali Harbi Svekos Bedevar, I was so torn. Amitas Hashitas Shalom Mizrahi, are they really correct? And you could just put yourself into his mind. Here's a man who his whole life stuck to tradition and was fighting for it. And yet here, he couldn't really deny the existence of the Medina. So what do you do? Imani Mizdaha Ka'es Imam Mizrahi, should I now identify myself to be a part of the religious Zionist community? Shehu B'niga L'Masaras HaMishpacha Shali, that is against everything my family stands for. It's a very difficult challenge. We all have things that we stand for, at least we should. But there comes a time when maybe that principle is no longer applicable to this generation. We stand for something, but you have to know when it's irrelevant. But that's not such an easy decision to make. So he writes, Ein ze ela kafi shehivharti mikodem. Ani margish, I feel, ki hashgacha paska ki Yosef neged Echav. The same way that Yosef HaTzadik was right against all of his brothers, they all said Yosef was in the wrong. And he said, no, I'm telling you, this is where the redemption is going to be. Yosef brings the whole people down to Mitzrayim. And God had it that Yosef was right. So too Rav Soloveitchik says about himself, Min HaShamayim, God is paskening that Yosef, myself, Yosef Soloveitchik is right against all of his brothers. And yes, it's hard for me to decide to go against all that my brothers are telling me, and it's hard for me to neglect and to some way reject all that comes before me, but I'm telling you, he says, God is going to pasken like Yosef against his brothers. Now that's a tremendous courage for to say that. And God now is using the messengers who are not religious to get this whole operation going. To get everything running. Ani gam ma'amin, I believe, ki lule ha-mizrahi, without this movement, lahaya makom kim'at le-Torah b'Yisrael. I didn't pay attention to what year it was. I don't know. Oh, no, this was much later. No. The Chamesh Drashot were given much later on. But the question was, this was a major struggle he had, and there were many years where he did not agree with the Mizrahi. He was actually a part of the Aguda. Rav Soloveitchik was a part of the Aguda who opposed. And then he realized, we have to reconsider, we have to think about it. It's not clear. But he expresses his challenge, his difficulty that he has. And he says, how can I ignore this reality? How can I ignore what we're living through? And he writes that he believes that God will paskin ultimately like Yosef Keneged Echav. And have we not seen that that is the case? Look how much has happened since he wrote what he wrote. Look how much more Eretz Yisrael has prospered in all ways throughout all these years. Since the 60s and 70s, we've seen such incredible growth in numbers, in prosperity, in advances in technology, in the Torah study that's being learned there. In every way, Eretz Yisrael has only advanced. You see that God is paskening like Yosef Keneged Echav, against all of his brothers, against his tradition, and against his family. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote also in 1948, this is the letter that Rabbi Mendel Kasher sent around, and it was a letter that was signed by about 200 Rabbanim, very prominent Rabbanim, and people you wouldn't really expect to be on there. Rabbi Zalman Sarutskin, other people, you have to know the history of the time, but many people who you would never expect to be on there. And look how Rabbi Shlomo Zalman opens his letter. He says, "No de la Hashem." It's important to read this because when you try to understand what am I supposed to be feeling on a day like today? How should I express myself? Is it just the halal? Is it just the words? Says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, "No de la Hashem asher zachinu b'rav rachama v'chasada." We thank the Ribbono shel Olam that He's given us the opportunity to appreciate Rav Rachama v'chasad of His incredible mercy and His incredible kindness that He gave us a land of Eretz Yisrael liros to see es hanitzanim harishon shel haschalto de geula im hakamasa shel medinas Yisrael. This is written right away in 1948, where everybody signed on and said, we thank the Ribbono shel Olam publicly for giving us this incredible blessing, for letting us see His mercy and His kindness, for giving us our own country. Me'eis Hashem ha'isazos. This was clearly a gift from God. La'haros lanu, to show us ki higia shas ratzon. Ha'mechayeves hosanu lavo le'ezros Hashem b'giborim. It has come the time for us to step up and stand behind God and be His messengers and be the ones to do His job. Kidei sha'artzeinu u'medinasenu tibane v'tichone naltaros ha'kodesh Torah Yisrael. It is time for us, he says, to step up now that God has given us this gift. Step up and realize you have an opportunity to inspire. You have an opportunity to take part in all that goes on in this country. Integrate yourself. Show the world that you can actually have a country that runs Al Taras HaKodesh, that runs with ethics and morality, that runs with a justice system that is straight, that is not corrupt. And he writes, Chukosel Mishpatel Shenatnu Lana B'Sinai. We have laws that were given to us so many generations ago at Har Sinai. Heim She'amdu Lana B'Galuseinu. That is what has stood for us throughout all these years of exile. Heim She'amdu Lana L'Kayim Es Medinaseinu V'Hasmasa. And that is what will stand for us to allow this country to continue to endure. But that's the perspective. No de la Hashem, that we thank the Ribbono shel Olam and we recognize Me'eis Hashem Ha'isazos. All of this is a tremendous and incredible gift from God. Rav Kook, who was the chief rabbi at the time, writes as well, I'm sorry, Rav Herzog. Zeh hayom asa Hashem nagila v'nismecha bo. This is a day that we celebrate, that we recognize, that we anticipate. Yom gadol huzeh. Yom Asher Bo Kol Yisrael. This is a day that all the Jewish people, Misof HaOlam Ad Sofo, from one end of the world to the other, Smechem B'Hala V'Hoda, are celebrating with Hala V'Hoda, each person in their own way, and don't just allow it to be the words of Hallel. Take a few minutes out today and thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for what Eretz Yisrael means to you. What does it feel when you go? What does it do to you? Does the experience mean anything? Make sure to incorporate that in your halal v'hoda that you say. Yom asher bo mifayim ke'echad lev ha'uma shel kol hadoros. This is a day that the pulsating hearts of all those generations, of all the Jews, come together. Mehayom shegalinu me'artzeinu ad hayom hazeh. This is a day that all those Jews who looked forward so much to such a reality come together and appreciate and understand what it means. Skip down. Achei v'achiyosai. my brothers and sisters. Tzav hasha'ah, our obligation, our duty now is lifkoach einayim ivros, to open up our blind eyes, v'liros u'lahakir es yad Hashem, and to finally recognize what is going on in our country. What is happening? Recognize the Yad Hashem, how much He loves us. See how much He's given us. See how much He's made us successful. Es ha'ashkacha ha'miyuchedes al Beis Yisrael. Where have you ever seen a country with a history like the country of Eretz Yisrael? There has never been such a thing. It is against all odds. You think about all the wars. You think about all the great experiences that the Jewish people have been through in the last 70 years. It's something that is almost impossible. And he says, Tzav hasha'ah, our obligation is lifkoach einayim ivros, to open up our blind eyes and just start to realize what it is that we're living through. It's so easy to just keep on living and keep on watching and keep on reading the news, and we just don't ever stop to recognize. You're blind. Look what's happening. How many messages has God sent us over the last 69 years? How many times do we have to? In order for us to finally realize, this is real. This is Aschalta de Geula. This is what you've been living for. This is what you've been looking forward to for so many generations, for so many millennia. It's finally here. Take advantage of it. Understand what it means to you. Appreciate it and recognize that. Me'eis Hashem ha'isazos, nagila v'nismachavo. We will celebrate, we will rejoice, because we recognize that this is God's gift back to the Jewish people. Let's just close with one final idea, and that is from Rav Amital. Rav Amital was one of the Rashi Yeshiva in the Gush, and he wrote a very moving article at a time when one of his great students, who is now the Rosh Yeshiva of the Gush, Rav Meidan, went on a hunger strike. And it was a very interesting story why he went on a hunger strike. He found out that they were giving weapons to the Palestinians, so he went on a hunger strike. So Rav Amital wrote how proud he was of his Talmud, that he's standing up and he's taking himself out of the Gemara, and he's going on a hunger strike to prove to the world how upset he is, how agitated he is by what's happening. In the context of that very beautiful piece that he wrote, he has the following. Now you have to understand and appreciate Rav Amital lived through the Shoah. He comes to Eretz Yisrael, he sees what's happening, he builds a yeshiva, and he's like on top of the world. He could never imagine such a thing. Some people came afterward. He lived through it. He lived through the Shoah, he lived in Russia, in the labor camps, in the death camps, everything. Somehow he survived, comes to Eretz Yisrael, sees a yeshiva that is flourishing, sees a country that is flourishing, and he writes the following. His article is called The Shema B'Kol B'Chiyav Shel HaTinok, to hear the crying of the child, which is an interesting story in itself, why he called it that. It's based on a story by the Baal HaTanya. I see we're almost out of time, but another time we'll talk about that. So he writes the following. Chazaroso shel Am Yisrael le'Eretz Yisrael hi tofa'a she'ein dugmata ba'olam. This is a, how do you translate that, tofa'a?
A miracle.
What?
A miracle.
It's more than a miracle. It's an incredible moment. She'ein dugmasa ba'olam, that there is no place in the world that has ever been through such an experience. Asrot aratzot zachu l'shichru l'umi. There are tens of countries all over the world that have been liberated over the years, over the generations. In Europe, in Africa, in Asia. Aval im sharov shnos chay am, a people. Sherov shnos chayav lo haya ba'artzo. When were those communities liberated? When you had some oppressor came, put them under siege, waged a war, they lost their country, then a few years later they got it back. That's what happened. But he says, Am, have you ever seen a people? Sherov shnos chayav lo haya ba'artzo. That most of its existence has not been in its own land, has been all over the world. Have you ever seen an experience like that where people who were not in their own country and then got taken over and then recaptured it, but people who were not there for most of their existence, somehow regained sovereignty of a place that they had no ownership of, that they had no place to be in? that they never inhabited, that they didn't settle? Zuhi tofa'a bilti mukeret ba'olam. This is something we have never seen anywhere else in the world. Hanavim medabrim al shivas tzion. The Nevi'im speak so often about b'shuv Hashem ashivas tzion, what that's going to be like. V'chi yecholam anachnu lomar. Are we able to say sha'anu roim be'einenu ze lo kiyum v'lo chelki shel hachazon hanavui? Is there anyone who's going to deny that what we're living through, all these miracles, are not at least a part of that prophecy of what life is going to be like? V'shuv Hashem ashivas tzion. V'chi yecholim anu lomar, can we say Ka'osem anshe hanimnim al hachugim hacharedim shezuhi tofa'a galutit? Can we say that this is a part of our experience in Galus? Do we not understand that this is what all the Nevi'im aspire to, what they all look forward to, what they gave us hope for? Hanavi Omer. The Navi tells us, Od Yishama Ba'ari Yehuda v'chutzos Yerushalayim. Kol sasam kol simcha, kol chasam kol kala. There will come a time when the streets of Yerushalayim will be flooded, and everybody will be rejoicing. And they will say, Hodu es Hashem tzivakos ki tov Hashem li'olam chazdo. We will thank the Ribono shel Olam. We will just have endless gratitude. Mevi'im toda beis Hashem. Halo ze kiyum chazon hanavui. Is this not the prophecy that they are describing? Don't we see this happening? 4 million Yehudim chayim be'eretz Yisrael. Now we have 4 million Jews, he writes, living in Eretz Yisrael. Now there are way more. Yesh akorim lazeh reishis tzmichas gulasenu. Some say this must be the beginning of our redemption. Yesh arom lazeh maisa satan. Some say, nope, it's all just the satan. V'yesh shemis alma mizeh. And some people just turn their eyes and ignore it. V'lo roim bezeh kiyum chazon hanavui. Some people just turn away and choose to ignore as if it doesn't exist. Rabotai, he says, Yachol liyot, it could very well be, shekol eila asher dibru al reishis tzmichas gulasenu ta'u. It could be that there were many great people throughout many generations who have said, oh, it's time to go to Eretz Yisrael. And who were they? Talmidei Hagra. We know that the students of the Vilna Gaon tried to make an aliyah movement. Maybe they were mistaken. Maybe that wasn't the right time. Yachol liyot, it could be that the Talmidei Abal Shem Tov were wrong. Just a few years later. It could be that Rabbi Kiva Eger and his Talmidim, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, and all those great tzaddikim of his generation in the 1700s, maybe they were also wrong, that it was the wrong time. When they spoke about Reishis Tzmichas Gulasenu, maybe they were wrong. Yacholi Yotcher Rav Kukta. Maybe even Rav Kuk was wrong when he said, now it's the time to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Lacholi Yotcher Rav Chalapta. Could be that Rav Chalap, who was the great disciple of Rav Kuk, was also wrong. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Rabbi Kiva Gedol HaTanoim. Maybe when Rabbi Kiva said, oh, it's the time to go back, now is the Geula, maybe he was also wrong. Aval al Adam Echad Eineni Yachol Lomar Sheta'a. There's one person that is not making a mistake. There's one person that can never be accused of making a mistake, and that is the Navi. That is the Navi. V'anavi Zechariah medaber, and the Navi Zechariah tells us, and he says, Rani v'simchi bas tzion, ki hineni ba, v'shachanti b'socheich nu'um Hashem. There will come a time when God will once again, v'shachanti b'socheich, will be a part of our existence. And when will that be? V'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem b'yom hahu. And so many will come and galvanize around the Ribono Shel Olam. V'hayu li la'am. V'shachanti b'socheich v'yadat ki Hashem tzivakos shlochuni elayich. And that's how you will know that it is God who has sent me. Says Rav Amital, all the greats of all these generations may have been wrong, but they can't be wrong when we're watching the unfolding of history, when we're watching that the prophecies of all our great Nevi'im have come true. That can't be wrong. You can't deny that. You can say that everybody along the way was wrong. Even the Tanaim maybe were wrong. Maybe Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Vilna Gaon and Rav Chalap and Rav Kook and everybody in between were all wrong. But now we're seeing that history has proven otherwise. Now we're seeing that the Navi And everything that the Navi promised us was going to be is actually being. Let's use this time of year as a time that we appreciate and celebrate and understand what Eretz Yisrael means to all of us, how significant a role it plays in the life of the Jewish people, and how great a gift this is, how it's a greater gift than anything we've ever been given in our history, how much God has given us the opportunity to celebrate with Him and to understand what this gift is supposed to mean to all of us. Let's make sure we take full advantage of days like today, of days like Yom Yerushalayim, and understand how much we're supposed to be thanking the Ribono Shel Olam for everything that He has given us.